I'm Cape.
And I'm Drew.
We're just two former student athletes who understand the game.
Not just on the court.
But in life.
At the end of the day, we just want to help.
Today's athletes and former just trying to find their way.
It's bigger than sports.
This is the Cape and Drew Podcast. The real TikTok. What's up, everybody? I'm Cape.
I'm Drew.
We are back. It looks like we're on episode 7 or 8, I believe 7, episode 7. This is a special episode because typically we got a guest, but we are the guest today. it's just us, kind of like season 1 where we just going to chop it up. But this is the catch for all the listeners is that, you know, I texted Drew earlier this week and I said, man, we should record just to kind of wrap up the year because it was definitely a crazy year. Everybody knows that. But and of course he was like, he's with it. But the caveat is that we got questions for each other and we don't know what the questions are. So it might get interesting, but you know, we thought it would be cool to just kind of ask each other some random questions. And you know, I put it on my mama, as they say, that he does not know the questions that I'm gonna ask, and I don't know what he's gonna ask, and vice versa. So I don't know, Drew, you want to kick it off or what? You want me
to
go?
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah, I got you. So all right, first question, right? What's one word to describe how you made it through 2020? And you can't say the unprecedented. that's been the number one word in the dictionary this year.
So one word that what now that I...
One word to describe how you made it through 2020.
Man, that's a great question. I would probably say perspective. And the reason I say that is because I really believe that that was the only way to have gotten through or look at this thing was how you viewed it. And the way I viewed it, not necessarily, I mean, not every day wasn't a good day, but you just kind of simplify it like, okay, this is crazy. This is unknown. The world seems to be going mad. But then perspectively, you're like, okay, I'm healthy. My wife is healthy. My son is healthy. My mom is healthy. My family, Drew is healthy, his people healthy, you know, the people you care about, and you're like, and I kept my job, which was great. So I just kind of like simplified it and was like, it's bad, but I can only control what I can control. So, I mean, you know, I literally had to remind myself like at least once or twice a week from, you know, not losing my mind that it's bad, but it could be worse. It could be a lot worse. What about you though?
So I think definitely that was part, like you got to go through those things like perspective. I think for me, like the word I had thought of was like innovation. I was like, every week you felt like you were getting more and more distant from like your students. So it was kind of like trying to find different ways to engage with them, trying to find different ways to reach them, not annoy them.
Yeah.
trying to think. So I would like read all this different stuff on like higher ed, Chronicles of Higher Ed, like, yo, how are you reaching your students? How are you being engaging with them? Are you showing them empathy? Like what they might be going through. And so kind of to constantly try to find little things or little nuggets to do. I could like either bring in my classroom or like my students that I work with, like the group chat or text messages, like, you know, you kind of get frustrated with like, yo, I'm on a Zoom, but you don't have your camera on. This is like me calling you. So why are we, and then just trying to keep breaking down that barrier. So sticking with it, like being like innovative, like, hey, you know, just sending you a text, just want to check in, see how everything's going. Nothing too crazy, nothing too serious. Want to make it as relaxed as possible.
Yeah.
So just try to be innovative, find out different ways to reach the students and be engaged with them.
Yeah, them articles you're talking about, I would say that I probably read more this year. And then, you know, in our profession, it's our jobs to read and be up on things. But we read so much. And I had to remind myself, too, is that we're not everybody is reading about COVID or best practices or how to be innovative or no. So it was kind of like we were being constantly reminded about this pandemic, whether we wanted to avoid it or not worry about it. So that would trickle into my personal life. After I get off at 5, I've got so much information about this. And so when I'm talking to my family about it, they're looking like, what are you talking about? It's not that bad, especially in the beginning. And I'm like, no, it is bad.
And think about it, you keep trying to find these innovative ways because you know the budget cuts are coming. So you're trying to make sure what you're doing is important.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a crisis, especially in February, March. That thing was an uppercut, dog. And I mean, we all, I mean, especially in higher ed, we had to, like, to your point, be in it. Like, how are you going to make this work? How are you going to keep your students engaged? How are you going to make sure the bottom line, which is enrollment, because that's what we're talking about, is enrollment and you know, student retention. How do we keep this thing afloat? In our roles, how can we best make that happen? That's a great point. And I mean, innovation was definitely key. So, all right. So kind of goes along with your question, but what was the worst part of 2020 and what was the best in your opinion?
The worst part of 2020.
I mean, we know what the obvious answer is, COVID, but still.
The worst part, man. Just feeling like you had everything was like starting to like click on all cylinders, right? Everything, boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden it's like, stop. let me holler at you real quick. So that was probably the worst, man. It was like everything was starting to flow together. You kind of had built this niche up at work to where I was like networking with everybody, just collaborating with everybody on different things. And everything, well, the podcast is starting to flow. You know, we had upcoming
speaking engagements.
Yeah, we had engagements coming up. So we was like, everything was starting to flow. I think we had just got back from Northern Arizona, not even a month ago before. Yeah. We was about to go to Delaware. And we was like, yeah, man, really, really hitting our stride. And then, bam, I get that email. This conference is going to be canceled. And please check back in 3 or 4 days as we will send you a such and such reimbursement. Yes. So getting used to that, man, was probably the worst. Like that, and that only lasted like maybe a week. Like, dang, man, everything's about to pop. And then all of a sudden, this happened. The best thing I'd say is best thing probably being able to network the way we did during this whole pandemic, because we could have easily been like, man, we just gonna chill, not do anything. And then I look back on all the people we had talked to over 2020, I was like, dang. And those are people I feel like we wouldn't probably be able to get in those spaces with them had this pandemic not happened. Like, wouldn't have been able to just randomly go talk to somebody that we had on like face-to-face like that. And so, think about that accomplishment. Like, that was pretty dope. That's probably been the best thing out of this as far as like, you know, business and like professional wise. I think best thing personally, the time you get to spend with the family. Like, that's kind of been one of those things to where it's been so good. I gotta remind my wife, like, hey, this has been great, it's been cool, but here's the thing. Oh, hear me out. We're not gonna do this forever. Like, this isn't gonna. I gotta get out of here once we get back to normal. Like, yeah, I'm trying to put on. I've had sweats on for 2 weeks. I know you love me just being around here chilling. You got my honey-do list ready for me. That part's cool though. So I thought that was gonna. You see, couples go through a bunch of different stuff, but that's been actually one of the bright spots. Like, chilling with the fam, like, you know, day you might get annoying every now and then, but it ain't nothing too crazy.
Atlanta's definitely been annoying, but that's so funny you say what you said about the worst part, because I was just talking to my brother about that last night, about how I really felt like we were about to take off and, you know, really start you know, getting out there and really doing what I believe is our somewhat of our calling, like what why we went through what we went through, and start really getting out there and sharing our story and providing some type of inspiration to student athletes that may be going through the same thing. And I mean, to your point too about the podcast, I mean, shoot, in February, March, I mean, I don't even know if we recorded, and I remember not even wanting to record. I remember not even wanting to talk. Remember we talked about that? I was like, man, it's nothing to talk about. Like, this is bad.
Am I going to die?
We were joking about it. Like, this is I Am Legend. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, it was kind of depressing because you were thinking about the engagements that got canceled, and you were thinking about, like, conferences we normally go through for our jobs that got canceled, and you were like, what is going on? And so, because we pride ourselves on being, like, you know, happy and you know, having a positive outlook, but I was like, yo, what, like, why is this happening, like, right now? This is like the worst time that this could be happening from a professional standpoint. But then personally, you're like, like, I believe we're both in great positions in our jobs and families are good. And like for me, we had just kind of gotten settled in South Carolina and, you know, just found a really good, reliable babysitter. So we were like, man, we were about to hit the town and just enjoy, you know, COVID, boom. Stay right where you at.
Dating night's about to be popping. And then next thing you know, he was like, man, I ain't going out nowhere.
You better not. You could die. But the best part was, to your point too, about the family. Like, I feel like that's the one thing that we should all get out of COVID is, like, really your family and your close loved one. That's really all that matters. Like, it's going out, chasing and being out here doing whatever, or even just rat race that we're in, all of us. You don't want to admit it, but you're always, we're ambitious people. So you're trying to get to the next whatever. But really, if you, you know, if you make enough money to take care of your bills and, you know, to save a little bit and your family's good, I mean, I would call that happiness. I would call that success, because tomorrow, obviously, ain't promised. Next year ain't promised. So the time that I spent with Meg and Lan just being in the house, and I mean, I FaceTime my good friends or Zoom my friends more than we ever would. We live in different states. So, like, why? And the question is, why don't we do this anyway? Like, why don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, why did it take a pandemic to, like, for us to, you know, mm-hmm. do a Zoom to watch the NBA draft or just to, like, make time for each other just to have a drink? Like, last night, you know, Smalls and the boys, we got on a Zoom and took a shot for New Year's. You know what I'm saying? So it's just little things that, you know, you realize, I think all that comes from, like, you be like, man, I love these dudes. Like, I mean, I want to see their faces. I want to make sure they're good. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, it's been a crazy year. So it's on me. It's on you. It's on you.
It's on me. So it's very similar to the question you just asked. So what are two things you were proud about in 2020?
two things I'm proud about?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good question. I got the first one. The first one that I'm proud about is that I feel like I'm in really good shape physically because I you don't realize it, but again, at rat race, you're going to work. You know, in my building, there's a Chick-fil-A right upstairs, pizza. You know, I'm in the student union, so I got access to all kind of food. And by the time you get home at 5, the gym ain't necessarily the ideal place to go. You know, you just kind of want to go home and relax. And so shout out to Solomon Johnson, my boy. He asked us, I think in March, about starting this run club on the Nike app. And so we did. And you remember, because I was asking you questions because you were running before. And I was like, yo, how are y'all boys running 5-6 miles? I'm about to die out here. And you told me, Solomon said, man, you're running too fast. Slow down. You can run longer. Because I was running like Kantos was yelling at us. So our trainer was yelling at us. But once y'all told me that, I said, oh, I feel okay. And I mean, I had a couple injuries along the way, but I mean, I checked my app and I ran over 1,000 miles for the year. And I wouldn't have did that. without COVID. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm down to like my senior year in college weight. I feel great. My joints feel good. My knees don't hurt no more. I mean, I feel good. And I'm thinking about it too. I'm like we getting older, man. So I'm thinking like health is wealth. Like our kids are young. So I ain't trying to be like, I put some on Instagram the other day. I said, I'm preparing for my 50s. And what I'm saying by that, you do the math. When I'm 50, my son would be like 19. So I can't be a burden on my family. And like, you know what I mean? Like I have blood pressure. I'm thinking about all kind of stuff that I don't want to be a burden. And I don't want Landon to be looking like, yeah, that's my dad coming. Ah, you know what I mean?
Thinking like, yo, is the prostate check? It's like, right. Next week. Like, yo, what?
No, I'm serious though. I be thinking about all of that. And so with COVID, I'm proud that because we've seen it with people that because of COVID, the gym's being shut down. You know, you sitting at home, you got access to your pantry and the refrigerator, you put on weight. And I get it. I understand. We talked about it on the earlier episodes that, you know, I ate a whole row of Oreos in one sitting, just sitting there.
I can eat more. I feel bad.
I don't want other people to enjoy the Oreos, right? And so I get it, but I'm so proud that, shoot, you in the running thing too. I'm so glad that we and you know, some of my boys that we were consistent, you know, throughout this time. And I think as a result, our health got better. And, you know, I mean, I feel great. I don't want to speak for everybody. Mm-hmm. I feel great. So I'm proud of that. And the second thing is I think I'm proud of us because, like you just said, we could have just said, man, you know what, the hell with it, man. Like we were about to blow up and just imagine if we had stayed in that same rut back February, March, April, and we didn't reach out. We weren't still being persistent and like you weren't hitting people up on Twitter like, yo, we try to keep you on the show. What's good? Yeah. I mean, we easily could have did that. You know what I'm saying? But I think we did it because we're
280 right now.
So what?
We've been about 280 right now.
Oh no, we'd have been 280. We would have been frustrated. We would have, I mean, but truth be told, the conversations we had on the pod were therapeutic too. I mean, we had a cop on the show with all the black social injustice going on. We had a nurse on the show talking about COVID. We had some powerhouse higher ed practitioners on the show. We had some ADs on the show. We had coaches on the show. We had former athletes on the show. I mean, but we always talked about what was going on currently, how people were feeling. That was always the first question. How are you feeling about this and the third? And I mean, I look back on it like, man, I'm proud that we didn't tank it. We kept going. Yeah. We kept the mission going. We stayed true to ourselves. And I feel like we put some good content out there and, you know, people listened and I would like to think we helped some people get through this.
Yeah. Dang, I'm trying to think two things. I had it in my head. So I start like the first thing. So like Daniel used to have like a feeding tube to where at night we had to give him like his liquids and stuff.
Yeah.
But we were just messing around with him one day. We were like, man, get him like something to drink. See, right? Just to see if he'll take it or he will, you know, he won't spit up or nothing. So mind you, Daniel never really drank nothing. So you would think little things like just, you know, give him a cup, he'd just be like, boom, gave him that cup, he just all like just jumped it all in his face. So he ain't know. So
yeah.
But we kind of like gave him like little baby sips and stuff and like he wasn't spitting up, wanted to have nothing. But so to see him like smash some juice right now, like to the face, it's kind of one of those things like, dang, I have no reaction to it. Before he'd be like spitting up for hours. And
wow.
So to see him recover from that is like, dang, we don't even run his pump no more. Like he got his button in, but we don't even run the water through him because he'll drink a whole thing of juice in a day.
What? When was that y'all tried that though?
Man, it probably around, I want to say when the pandemic first started. Or okay. Maybe a little bit before, or maybe like a little bit after it got started.
So like it was right around March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking last year when he was in school, he was still getting like his pump at getting it like ran during the day at school. And this year when the school started back, he didn't have to do it. So that's been pretty dope just to see that. And then the second thing, kind of like what you said, just like you take a look at the podcast. I feel like, yo, we have like a legit podcast.
Yeah.
And like not even from the sense of like just like bragging about it, but more so like we always knew we had good content to talk about, right? I
Right.
was thinking about this earlier, like we could literally we have these same conversations on the phone. Like just I was thinking myself how Drea or Meg would be like, is that Drew on the phone or is that Cape on the phone? You guys giggling. So that part I always knew, but just like we weren't like savvy in the podcast world, so we kind of had to go along and learn as we get along. And so to have people that we know are established in that kind of setting, like a person that does marketing or does these graphic things, for them to say like, oh yeah, I see you getting a little better. And like this my homegirl, she hit me up the other day and she's like, yo, I just listened to your podcast and the quality sounds great on it, right? It's because she was all like, I have some other friends who do podcasts and it sounds awful. And it wasn't like she was being biased because she don't even know what we're talking about. So she was literally just seeing how I want to see how the sound sounded. And so that kind of reaction from people, I'd be like, oh damn, we got like a legit thing here. Like, oh, okay. And so you start seeing more people ask to be on where it was like, yeah, beg people. Not like beg, but like we had to really put in the groundwork. And so now you got people actually reaching out. You're like, oh, dang, that's pretty dope. Okay.
Yeah, that
So
is cool.
it makes you like, yeah, I can't really can't wait till this whole COVID thing is over.
Yeah. Have you seen a movie you got to watch is Soul? Have you seen it? It's on Disney Plus. It's the new movie with Jamie Foxx. It's like a
Oh,
Pixar
yeah, I've been
joint.
seeing the commercials and stuff. Yeah.
Watch it. And the reason I'm saying watch it is because it's the movie is really good, but there's one of the main points is that it talks about the message is basically like we're trying to get to the bigger, better, like we keep saying, I just said it too, when COVID kind of stopped us from propelling into whatever atmosphere or whatever level of success. But the movie is basically like, yo, you're already doing what you're doing. You're already doing it. Like you're successful because you've already, even if we touch one person or we don't, I mean, we've already won, but we don't realize it because we're trying to be whatever. And so to that, I'll say this is that yeah, when COVID is over, I have no doubt we'll continue to go on the way we were probably going. But I would argue that we've already won too, because we ain't know nothing about no podcast. I had an idea, I ran it by you. You was like, that's dope, hit record, the rest is history. We had no idea. And look, we on season three. We've had what, 20 plus, 30 plus guests on the show. And like now like people are asking us to be on the show, which is outstanding. And all we're doing is chopping it up. But I think my brother said it to me the other night. He said, man, y'all are so authentic. Y'all are so honest. And I don't look at it like that because I'm just talking to my boy. We just talking on wax. We just hit record. That's all. But it's something about being honest and being truthful. Because we can't, nobody can tell our truths the way we can, basically. And so, I mean, I mean, I'm proud of us again because we could have easily been like, yo, man, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I imagine just looking back, like let's say we knew who we could have had on, but then we like didn't do it. And I felt like if you would have shown me a picture of everybody we could have had on, but we decided just to chill, I would have been like, damn it, there was a Georgetown scout out there and I blew it.
No, that collage you put together the other day, because I was thinking a week ago, I said, man, we had some great guests, but I was trying to remember everybody. And when you text me that collage the other day, I was like, yo, that is incredible, dog. That's dope. Because I was like, damn, we had Jamal, we had E Maynor, we had T Mac, we had what's my all those administrators, the higher ed administrators, we had the ADs, we had the coaches, we had the cop, the nurse. So many other former teammates. I mean, dog, and had great conversations, which
just imagine somebody showing you that, like, hey man, this is what you could have did, but you decided to chill.
look what you could have had, brother. Yeah, that's crazy. So here's a question. With everything going on in athletics, what message do you think is being sent to the student athletes?
Dang, that's
everything going on.
I was just thinking about earlier, I was like, yeah, I actually found a question about athletics. And I was thinking of something about that, like what you seeing right now. So I think, man, with college or professional?
College.
Oh, yeah. So with college, man, I'm starting to see like this whole thing is about to crumble. Not like from the season perspective, right? I already think like, hey, we're a half hour away from this whole thing being a wash. But I think the whole system in itself is literally about to crumble because you started with guys extra benefits, right? And they just be like, you know what? I just want to play. That's right. Cool. And so you start to see the quality of, you know, basketball go down. But now I start like, okay, even with football, you got these coaches. You're starting to see like, man, no matter what happens, it's going to be the same four teams in the playoffs anyway. And you're starting to see like this uproar. So people are like, yo, why don't we just leave and do our own thing? Or you're starting to see conferences be like, because there's no commission, there's no one over NCAA. Mm-hmm. There's no person dictating anything. So every conference has their own commissioner. There's no one main commissioner. So what if Alabama and these other power schools, like, yo, whatever with the NCAA, and just leaves and still plays games, paying guys. I mean, I'm pretty sure Alabama, they'll be on TV. They'll still find a way to get sponsors still. So, and it's kind of like, I don't see the NCAA really making any. You went from, all you have is Luke Garza, basically, basketball. You can't. That's not gonna be an answer, man. Like, yeah, you might as well just go ahead and start paying guys. Only thing I can see a pro for the NCAA is I would hate to see guys in college be like a James Harden. Have that type of diva mentality. That would be kind of annoying, but that's the only thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I wasn't even thinking like that, but you're right. I mean, there's no governance over this NCAA. And I think what's happening too is that I was thinking more so the student athletes are becoming more knowledgeable, more woke, and understanding their power in all of this, the grand scheme of things. But you're right, from a program perspective, I think in order to get the top recruits, and I'm more so with basketball, because football is a little different. I feel like football, the way the game is that you got to go to school. Like, there's no real, like, overseas. Yeah, there's no G League. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of got to go to college for 3 years before you can get drafted. So they kind of got them pigeonholed with football. But basketball, no. Basketball is literally what they need to do is go ahead and let guys go ahead and go out of high school. If they're good enough, let them like it used to be, right? Because this one and done crap, like I look at Kentucky. They're 1-6 or 1-5 right now, whatever the case may be. And I was having a debate with some good people the other day. I said, listen, those days of the one and done's coming in and winning is washed. I'm going to tell you why, because it's caught up. And what I'm saying is that these kids that are going one and done, the ideal, this is just my theory, the idea of going to a Kentucky or Duke, because Duke is struggling too, or they were before they kind of shut it down a little bit. They have no concept of a team. And the reason they don't is because of, think about it, from the time they were in good, it's been about them, individual. Show out, get seen, be a top five, top 100. Okay, be the top in your class. Okay, get this scholarship to so-and-so. And also, you got to get your social network up. You need to be having 200, 300 followers, blah, 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 blah. So it's all about individualism. And they understand that from, like, I would say it in middle school. So by the time they go to college, you mean to tell me I'm supposed to share and I've never shared before in my life. And so you got an old school coach who wants, like, Calipari or Krzyzewski, who I respect and you know, think they're awesome. But you got five guys on your team that have been basically for 15, 16 years been all about them and only them. And everybody around them has been telling them, it's about you. You got to do this. You got to do this because money can be this. You want them to come to your school and buy into your program system? Are you kidding me?
Look at this too. So before they put in the one and done rule, think about how many guys literally went straight to the league. Like out of a draft, maybe between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
But fast forward that to now, all the hype machine.
Yes.
Everybody that's going into college isn't a one and done guy.
Right.
But
right.
They think they are. And so that part is becoming like, I know you thought you were one and done, but that's, yeah. Like it's only like 2 or 3 guys who are like elite. And so yeah. That part too is coming like a little bit watered down. Like as far as that's why you start to see kids struggle. Like,
yeah.
I know you had this hype because everybody looks nice in high school.
Everybody like, looks nice.
Where you're starting to see now, like older teams, like those people are good. They're still good college players.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think the part I have like in football, I'm seeing like guys decide to sit out. Like especially this year, guys were like, yeah, I'm going to just chill, go train, and I'll be ready for the draft. And then you started to see too, like agents were paying guys 6 figures because they'll get that back. I'll get that back when you sign.
Easy.
So, That's nothing. And so I started hearing conversations like, yo, what is Trevor Lawrence doing? Like, why is he even there?
Why is he playing still?
So that part is getting, you start to see guys like, I don't necessarily have to dominate and I can still get drafted. It's not going to happen hurt my draft stock.
And Drew, Trevor Lawrence is getting ready to play for the national championship. And you got people saying like, that don't matter. Like you could get hurt. You can mess up millions of dollars, man. Just call it out. Everybody's like, if people don't understand this is a business, you know, decision, the hell with them. So the idea of team again, what you can do for a program and win a national championship, that's not even, people are like, I'm forget that.
We would be so hyped to play in a tournament and win a national championship. Oh. That doesn't even matter now.
That's it. Now, we remember when we were in college, it was all about, first of all, get to college. That was a big thing for us. I wasn't thinking one and done. I was thinking about just college, right? And then, I mean, probably because I wasn't good enough, but still, you know what I'm saying? So then it's like after while you're in college, you're like program, team, win your conference championship, go to the NCAA championship. Team, do well. I want to see my teammates.
Let me give them the highlight, one shining moment at the end. All we got to do is get hot.
One shining moment clip. I'm good. That does not matter.
I think that was a wrap. One time, I was watching an interview. Now, mind you, De'Aaron Fox and Bam, when they lost,
they were crying.
That emotional, like, yeah, that's not even the story I'm talking about. I saw them one time after a game. In the tournament, they were packing up their stuff. They had like Gucci book bags, Louis stuff. I was thinking like, yo, okay, this doesn't even matter anymore. Like they know, like, yo, just imagine, yeah, it's like a rec league to them. Like, I got this rec league tourney, but shoot, you know.
It don't matter.
Go to, I got VCU, we got scrimmages tomorrow, so yeah, it's cool. That's kind of how it was. Like, yeah, the league is waiting for me.
Dog, and they got that in middle school, and high school, they got that mindset, like, you ball out, forget the team, and they can say what they want to, and I'm here for the program. You think about Cade from Oklahoma State. Cade, what's his name? Cade Cunningham?
Cade Cunningham.
Boy is special.
He's a real deal.
No, he's at Oklahoma State, and they're not even eligible for the tournament. Guess who cares? Not him.
Not him. Like.
Nobody. He's going to be the number one pick. Now, I know it's less of those and more people like us who came in there. But my point is, you either get down or lay down, baby. I mean, you NCAA or whatever's going on, you got to tighten up because I think the power, the student, the main point is student athletes and those, the key stakeholders, they understand their power and it is shifted. And the dynamics of who's in charge, really in charge, who holds the cards, is not only understood, but it's being implemented. Like the players are like you said, I'm gonna sit out, yo. I'm good. I've done enough.
When we started seeing like Hall of Fame coaches get fired, it was like, yo, because they yelled at you. Okay. I mean, I remember that, but we didn't dare think like, yeah, man, I'm about to, who's the compliance officer around here?
Right. No, that wasn't even on our brains.
So you got that. But let me tell you how everybody's sick though in their own way. You got schools who have like these NCAA infractions. And so they're like, hey guys, hey, we're gonna own up and we're gonna take a 1 year post ban. It's like, what? We're gonna take a 1 year post ban. Like, yo, really? Like, yo, not only were y'all trash this year because y'all lost everybody, nobody cares about no ball games this year.
No, man. They taking a plea deal on a year that don't, I mean, it don't even matter. This year is a wash.
Arizona talking about we're not gonna go to the tournament this year. We're gonna do a post ban. I was thinking like, yo, what?
It might not even be a tournament, and you know that.
That part, man. That'd be the funny part of me.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
I think I think it's on me. What's one thing you kind of realize about the nation through this whole pandemic?
The United States of America? Man, I realized that, in my opinion, that we are not the greatest country. How we self-proclaim or how others might put that on us. We are definitely not the greatest country in the world. And the reason I say that is because it was very clear, and I understand that leadership was what it was, but I mean, to me, this was, if we were the greatest country, there's no way that we would have suffered and so many people would have died and so many things would have transpired this year if we were the greatest country. I learned that, you know, it's the same old song. It's like New Jack City, the rich get richer and the poor don't get, you know what? And, you know, it's unfortunate because anytime that there's some type of challenge or roadblock, you know, it kind of goes back to sports. You see who rises to the top. Like, you know, the game is on the line, you know, that's what makes players, that separates the superstars from the regular Joes, right? And it's the same thing to me with this. Like, this was our time to shine. And we fumbled that mofo. We dropped the ball. We blew it. And people's lives are changed forever. People died. People lost their jobs. Small businesses would never reopen again. We still don't have a handle on this COVID. I mean, the vaccines are coming out, but to me, it's you know, I'm not going to say that I'm like the most patriotic person, but you know, we I always say I don't want to live anywhere else. I've been overseas for a couple of days a few times, and you know, I respect our country and all of that, but it's just disappointing. I mean, I was not proud to be an American this year. And really, I haven't necessarily been, just because, you know, 45 been in the house, but yeah. just with the social injustices, with the pandemic, with just the nonsense that has happened in the last year, really several years, it's just disappointing, man. And you realize that this country has a lot of blood on its hands, and it's like the powers that be don't really care. And I mean, it's just sad. And for us, for me, it's like, what can I do about it? And that's the part that's frustrating. It's like, what? Because I got my family in this country. I like to think that I'm safe. You know, I'm paying my taxes. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But at the end of the day, it goes back to being a black man in America, but it's just this year was just disappointing and how we just fumbled, man. And I'm definitely not proud to be in America. I think that I'm so glad that we getting Joe in there in 19 days. And I'm excited about that. But we got a long way to go. Joe got a lot of cleaning up to do. And Kamala does too. And so, and they, you know, depending on who gets control of the Senate, I mean, you know, it could be some of the same challenges. But just on a not even going all the way to the top like that, I just think that I was just very disappointed and discouraged. I think discouraged is the right word. I felt a lot of discouragement this year because you just feel helpless. You feel like between the pandemic, the murders, the cops, the social injustices, I felt helpless. And that's an awful feeling for somebody like me that I like to be in control. I like to, you know, be happy and hopeful and optimistic. It was really hard to be optimistic this year, though. It still is.
The one thing I've realized is like, yo, there's a lot of hate and entitlement really tied up in policy. Like, you see things like, yo, did my man just pardon everybody? Like, did he just pardon the dude who blackmailed us, his own family or something like that? Like, or you see people like, nah, man, we don't need to give him 2,000. We don't. And then you start seeing things like, okay, most which people it is, and like, oh, it would be that community. You don't see anything wrong with it. No, it's not me, it's the policy. So the policy says, that's what the policy says. It's like, those are the rules. And it's like, but we can sit in a room and agree that we should probably fix this, right? Well, nah, because then you got to get everybody. It's like, man, you really just hide it behind this. Like, and you're okay with it. But I would say, like, because you wouldn't switch places with me for nothing. And I'm okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you see stuff like that, and it's just like, it's getting more and more just like, it's hard to even, you can't even disguise it. Like,
no.
You know, this stuff, like, yo, y'all know exactly, you pinpoint which community and which ethnicity this is affecting the most.
Yes.
And then you're just like, ah, hey man, policy. We can't do this.
No, with these $600 that I guess we're getting, or people are getting, they took this long to decide if they were even gonna do it. And it's less than what it was the first time. And now supposedly 45 came out and said that, you know, you can't hardly believe anything these days, but he came out and said that, you know, it should be $2,000, but that was the initial proposal. But now he's trying to say that now let's go back. So it's just so much, but you're like, $600. Now I'll, you know, if it comes my way, you better believe I'll take it. But you know what $600 does for the average person that's behind on their rent for 3-4 months, or mortgage, or behind on any bills? Nothing.
Nothing. Like, nothing. I think D.L. Hewley broke it down. It was like, yo, that $600 is like $1 something a day. He was like, so for $1.50 a day, you can sponsor U.S. American. No. And they were talking about what the other countries were doing. And I was just thinking, like, do y'all just not like us? Like, what is the, like, do y'all think that everyone in who is, I guess, financially stable, like, they got their way, had to pull their bootstraps up, and everybody else is just lazy? Like, I don't understand why you can't see that this isn't going to really do anything for people. Like,
no.
I mean, it's, like, the thing I saw, like, this wasn't even, like, related to it, really. It was just, they were just breaking down. It was like, well, you can't really call it a stimulus check, because stimulus would imply that you're giving these people money who don't necessarily need it, but it'll reboot the economy. Well, it can't reboot the economy because it's not safe to go to work. So that's what it is. Like, it's like, so that's just hard to call that name wise.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm just like, dog, y'all know people are struggling. Why not put in place like the eviction stuff? They extended that, but like, why should you even have people even like,
yo, first of all, $600 doesn't stimulate anything. I mean, if we, because we've lived a little bit, man, we know it's $600 is cool if you don't have any bills. Okay, if you got bills, like real significant do or die bills, and you're behind on those bills, $600, if, and especially if you're hungry and you ain't eating and you need food, where do you think that $600 is going? It's not necessarily going to your mortgage or rent or bills, right? You know, it's, it's a real bad dream, man. It's a real bad nightmare that we just can't seem to wake up from. I will say this. I think when Joe and his administration gets in, I think that they're going to shut the country down, like literally shut it down for weeks, if not a month, before it gets worse to really try to control this thing. He's not going to leave it up to states' governors. He's going to actually say, no, this is what it is, which I believe is what should have been done. Because if you leave it up to local governors or state governors, they're going to do what's best for their state from an economical standpoint, not necessarily worrying about the repercussions or the consequences, right? And that's, to me, what happened. But I think he's going to shut it down, and I think he's going to take care of, you know, people as best he can with money or whatever, so people can stay home. People can't stay home if they got to go to work to pay their bills. It's really that simple.
I'm just thinking, like, yo, why? You start like, why the airport's open? I mean, I like to get on a nice flight too, but you guys have seen what CDC, the hospitals are getting over. They have beds in the parking lot almost. Like, what? Man, it's
that dollar bill, man, is with no help or relief. You have to go. You have to fly. You have to. I mean, they'll go under. Everything as we know it will go under. So, the federal government or whoever, I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs. You have to do what you have to do to keep people safe, and that means give, like, financially support any and everything that needs to be supported, if you're able. And obviously we are able.
No, just imagine where we are, right? We're like, you know, we're not saying don't give me the 600, but we're just kind of like, you know, we're making it, right? But there's people not only who are struggling to make it, but there's people who necessarily didn't even file their taxes last year, or who don't have internet access, who aren't even internet savvy to go online to get all this stuff figured out. And yeah, it's like, that part is kind of scary. Like, hey, man, I know why you're going to make it, but hopefully I'll see you on the other side.
Right. And you're like, y'all don't think about them people? Because I think about them. I'm not even one of those people. Thank goodness. I'm grateful for that. But I'm like, I think about those people. Like, y'all not thinking about them? That's not on your mind? It's a lot of those out here.
A lot of those people who, like, did not file taxes, which that's understandable. But I mean, like, just people really know how to get online, the internet, all that kind of stuff, where I don't have access to it.
Yeah. Tough, man. It's tough. But, you know, we're a few days away from getting some new leadership around here, so we'll see what happens. What did you learn about yourself that you may not have known pre-COVID?
I think, man, this is my laid back personality has finally worked. Like, being patient, like, you know, because we always talk like, hey, man, as far as my story, I was like, man, you think you had a bad day? How much time you got? Right? Like, I'll tell you about a bad day. I'll tell you about, like, overcoming something. So nothing really ever bothers me. And so now you got all these people who are, like, just in the house, I can't stay in the house no more. And I'm just over here chilling, like, watching next Netflix. Yes. Like, just not really bothered by not being able to just go outside or to go travel or go on this vacation. It's kind of like that part of the pandemic, like, yeah, man, asking Americans to stay home and to not be socialized. We are social. I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm just chilling, you know, just chilling. So that part really bothered me. So that part, and then like you said, like, seeing all these people going crazy. I gotta get out of the house. I gotta, like, my dad used to be like, man, you're walking around like a caged tiger, son. Now every time I'll be like, I see Junior doing something, I was like, yeah, you really want to get out, don't you? And it's like, I can't take it. But I'm just like, I'm just chilling. So probably, man, just that patience, like, man. I'm gonna tell you a story about my older cousin. We had our grandma's house, like, back in the day, and it was in the middle of the summer, and upstairs it felt like there was no air on, so it was just hot. And I'm a kid, so I'm running around the crib. When I go upstairs and I see him just sitting on the couch, just sitting. I was like, man, you just sitting up here, man. You're not hot. and this is Mark, right? So he was all like, if you just sit still, you get a nice little breeze every now and then. I was like, man, I can't do it. I just can't stay up here. Man, that's how I feel now. Like, shoot, if you just sit still, you get a nice little breeze every now and then. So that's probably the biggest thing. Like, man, be fast, but don't be in a hurry.
Hey, that's funny because I think I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I always think that I'm resilient and can get through things. I think that's been confirmed for me because I'm like you. I'm like, it was easier for me to kind of look at this thing, the pandemic, and look at everything that's going on and still keep my sanity and still keep, you know, the core of me be the same. Not, I had my bad days, but it was easy for me to stay home, really, or it was easy for me to sit still and catch a breeze, you know what I'm saying? Or to shift my mindset from what I thought was going to happen, really just to pivot. I think pivot is probably the word that I've used and thought about more than anything this year, is that I'm able to pivot and still, you know, be good and be solid for the most part. I mean, adapting, flexibility, it's I'm able to do that and still be all right.
Something changed within the hour. Like, oh, damn, this was one way, but now we got to switch it all up and go back to this way.
Yeah.
Man, you know, some people be losing their mind over that kind of stuff.
No, and I thought I would be too, because I'm a man of, I respect routine. I love a good routine because, again, I like to be in control. So if I'm used to a routine, I know that it's going to be this way on Monday, this way on Tuesday, this way on Wednesday. I don't like a lot of surprises. So this was the ultimate surprise, and it's been the realest surprise of all time, because we don't know when this surprise is really going to end. So,
like you said, that part of that routine, right? And it's like, yeah, that's how I like it. Don't mess it up. I don't like surprises. but if you tell me we have to be prepared to switch a certain way because of this, then it's like easy versus, hold on, man, you got to be doing all this running around because you didn't wake up one time. Now I'm mad. like national pandemic, so we got to pivot, got to do all these things. Just able to, like you said, adapt, understand.
Yeah, that's been big.
Oh, that is done. Okay, so next one's on me, right? So what's like one thing you're focused on for 2021?
One thing I'm focused on, it's a great question. I think, not even a thing, I'm focused on keeping a positive attitude no matter what is thrown at us, because I keep seeing everybody so excited about it being 2021. Everybody's like, I'm tired of 2020, we in 2020. You know, the way I look at it is like, we don't know what 2021, what if 2021, hypothetically, is puts us in a mind frame was like, of like 2020 won't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just saying, like, it goes back to sports. You had a coach, don't ever get too high, don't ever get too low. You just got to stay in the middle. And I think that's, I'm looking forward to just maintaining and being okay with not actually knowing what's going on. You know, I'm still searching for that median, not even searching for, I think I found it, of just like being okay with not necessarily knowing exactly what's going on. Because really, you know, it's day by day, man. Like, you know, I just love the fact that, like, again, I'm home and the people I care about the most, I can see them and touch them. And that's comforting to me. As crazy as that sounds, that's comforting to me, because, you know, my getting outside of these of my house is when I go for my runs, or if I'm going to pick up groceries, and that's pretty much it, or the days that I do go into the office. But outside of that, like, I'm not tripping about anything else. So I mean, I'm just looking forward to, like, yeah, the easy question, the easy answer is like, things get back to normal. But I don't know if I necessarily want things to go back all the way normal for me, from my perspective, because normal was kind of crazy. Pre-COVID, if you think about it, the way we've had to pause and stop, it's been some good things that have come out of this for me personally. And so I'm looking forward to that median of finding that balance of living a great, authentic, you know, abundant life, but also still staying true and connected. Some of the things we talked about earlier with our families and staying the course, because you can get lost, man. Like I hope people not only survived these last 10 months, but also took some time to like look at themselves and say, hey, you know, outside of like wanting to live and get through this, but you like really connected with yourself or understood what you need to do to be a better person, better father, better wife, better whatever the kid, better employee, whatever, or start your own thing, or I don't know, whatever that thing is. Hopefully we all took some time to do that. I know I did personally. Still doing it, but you know, I'm looking forward to answer your question of that medium, because things are going to go back at some point. Things are, you know, in 2021, hopefully, but maybe beyond. But I don't necessarily want to say that I'm excited to go back to whatever the normal thing was pre-COVID, because that wasn't necessarily, maybe that was somewhat of the point of all of this, for us to kind of look and say, hey, y'all need to chill. Yeah.
So I was thinking, man, like you said, like, man, we don't know what 2021 has in for us. So I'm at the gym this morning and I see a fire truck pull up, and it pulls up to like two or three businesses down. But I see a fire truck pull up, got all the sirens on. So I'm just chilling, I don't see nothing going on. I was thinking like, man, a silent alarm probably went off, you know. But then I see like 10, 15 minutes later, a fireman, he comes into the gym. And he like walks over by like one of the far walls, right? And so I'm thinking like, you know what? Not today. Not gonna be no gas explosion today, buddy. Nah, not today, 2020. But I'm out of here. Man, I was like, yo, why am I here? I got up there so fast and just dipped. Like, I could just run in the neighborhood. And it was just one of those, like, I just laughed about it, like, because they had a big Durham gas explosion here last year in Durham. And I was thinking like, man, this could just explode right now. I mean, nothing happened, but I was just thinking, why am I even here? I'm out. But that part was definitely kind of just laughed about it. Dree was laughing when I told her too. When I told her the story, I was thinking like, I didn't know anything was going on, but it could have been a gas leak, a gas explosion.
Yeah. So I was like, but I think basically what you're saying is that you didn't have to go to the gym. You got everything you needed at home. Mm-hmm. And isn't that something to say? I don't need to go to the club. I got everything I need at home. I don't need to go on vacation and blow my credit cards. I got everything I need at home. I don't need to go crazy for Christmas and go all bald, you know, wilding out. I got everything I need inside or at home.
I was thinking like, man, 2020, first day of 2021, nah, I'm not taking that chance.
No, dog. And I mean, that's such a good story, because we got everything we need. And that, I think that's what, in my long-winded answer, that's what I was trying to say. We got everything we need. Is it on me?
Yeah.
Okay, so you lost your father this year, mm-hmm. right? And you were just kind of talking about him. I don't talk about you walking around like a tiger in a cage. But talk about your range of emotions during that time, or even now.
Let's see. So it was kind of crazy I wouldn't say crazy, because my brother and I, my older brother and I, we like knew it was coming, mm-hmm. but we were more so like, we look back and we were like surprised he made it this far, because just of the, you know, the lifestyle he kind of lived. And so one of our favorite movies growing up, Breaking, right? Ozone, the main character, he passed away the other day.
Did he? And
Ozone passed away, man. It was crazy. Oh. Yeah. But they showed a picture of him, right? And he was 65. So my dad was 67. Ozone looked really good. Like he looked, like, I mean, he had his hair. He had the weird haircut like he'd be having, but right. He still had his hair. I was hating a little, but he had like a beard. Beard was gray, but other than that, I mean, he looked like a solid dude, right? And he was 2 years younger than my dad. But when I saw my dad in the hospital, man, he looked like he was in his upper 80s, just as far as he didn't like take care of himself. And so that part was like, dang, kind of compare that. But I think part of the like emotions we kind of felt were you're seeing, so he has four brothers, three of them are still alive. And then you got people in the community who knew him. And so they were all like, oh man, you know, heaven got an angel, right? And all these other things. And my brother looking at each other like, I don't know where he's going. But I don't know if it's going, I don't know. That's just me. But we don't know if he's going there. Right, and so we were just kind of like, we didn't ever say nothing bad about him, but we were just like, yeah, these stories that you guys have, they're great stories. They sound really good, but we didn't have those same experiences. we don't have those same stories. And so when we get together, we'll like laugh and chop it up and talk about it. And then I think overall, man, it just made me think like, man, now that I think about all this stuff that he was doing, one, I'd be thinking like, how did my brother and I like make it out of there just to be people and not in that same type of environment or doing that same type of stuff to people? And then the second thing I was realized like, man, it's hard to say that you were a good dude. Mm-hmm. Like just the stuff that, you know, he would do to people or like nothing had changed like since I was like 10. Like he was still doing the same stuff. It was just a matter of there were different people in his life that he was doing it to.
Yeah.
And so that part was kind of like, man, I'm glad I made that decision like 15 years ago to get up out of there because I could have been right here struggling with you. And I was thinking like, man, I hate it for him. I don't really like, I don't talk ill of the dead, but those, I think of like a week, it was like, oh dang, like he passed away. But after that, it was kind of like I didn't even really have any memories really of him to think about. Like I don't really remember any of that. I don't really have any good memories of like that's my dad. Yeah. So that part was like dang, you want to feel sad, but you don't even know what to feel sad about because you start to feel like all this stuff coming out, like I didn't really know him. Or it's like dang. All you can do is, I talked to my high school coach this morning, and he was like, man, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, they have something like that going on in their family, and it's like, you just deal with it the best way you can. Yep. Yep. And so with that, it was just like, yeah. So, and then that, like, my brother and I, we talk, but it's not like it was his birthday, I think like 2 days ago. And it wasn't like my brother and I called each other like, man, I really wish to hear dad's voice one more time. Like, it wasn't nothing like that. It was just kind of like, man, well, we tried to tell him, but it's kind of like, yeah, like, I think the main thing is people tell like all these stories or you see things online, like, oh man, my teammate, man, heaven, rest in heaven or happy birthday in heaven. That's the main thing. I was like, yeah. I just don't have those same stories, guys.
I'll say because, you know, I think we talked about it. Some of the stuff you told me about it, like I never knew. And I know you for like 20 years, but I never knew about it. And that's fine. I mean, some of that stuff, I mean, if that was my pops, I wouldn't be, you know, sharing that with everybody either. So, but I think, you know, and this ain't to make you feel better, but like I told you, I did tell you that night. I'm like, man, you're right. Like y'all could have easily been dead. Like you and your brother, just off of some of the stuff you shared. And I'm like, you know, that's a blessing. But then two, I truly believe that, I mean, I think I met your father one time, but not even met him, just saw him. But I just truly believe that there's certain people that are in our lives. And it could be your father, your mother, your friend, your coach, your whatever. And just to basically show you either what to do or what not to do. And unfortunately, your pops was there to show you what not to do. you know, mm-hmm. as far as that lifestyle and how to be a father, because you ain't nothing, you're nothing like, I mean, you look like them to be. I know you don't want to admit that, but you do. But you're not, I mean, you obviously not in that same lifestyle, and you're a great father. So I think it's kind of like that LeBron James thing, man, where you know, you want to raise your kids because you don't want to wake up one day and turn on the news or get a pick up a Sports Illustrated and then be like, yo, that's my kid. And you were never in their lives, and not just from a money standpoint, but you want to raise your kids because that's your kid, right? Like that's, I always tell people now that I'm a father, I'm like, I would never understand, like, you know, that's your kid and you just abandon him, or you decide not to be in your kid's life. That, like, I, at first I could be like, well, maybe, you know, whatever, but when you have a kid, so when that happens, again, I just truly believe that sometimes people, and it's just unfortunate it was your pops, but it just to show you like what not to do. Like you saw it firsthand, you saw a movie firsthand every day. And like I told you, the book is gonna be a bestseller, dog. I'm telling you.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't know if you ever seen that movie, Sugar Hill.
Yes! Oh, Romello and them, yes, sir.
So I was like Romello, but I had that other brother's personality as far as like, man, I'm not going by to see. Like, and my brother had that personality, like, yeah, man, you know, it's gotta go check on. I was thinking, like, why? What are you doing? I think the two main things I've been thinking about from the dad's perspective, like when I see Daniel, there's two ways I never want him to look at me. And the first way would be like when I come home. And him to be like scared, or to be like, oh shoot, dad's home, make sure everything's how it's supposed to be. Did I do this? If he might flip, if I, dang, I ain't take my shoes off right at that spot over there. Like, did I take the chicken out the freezer? Like, I'll be thinking like, I do not want him to be that terrified or paranoid when I come home. I mean, he's younger. When I come home, it's like a daddy parade. Like, he run up to me and stuff. And I know, even now when he does stuff he knows he's not supposed to do, I'll walk over to him and he'll kind of be acting like scared, but that's because he knows he messed up. Right. Like, he's not just doing that because I came in the room. Yeah. And then that last part is like, if Daniel would like to look at me, like when you get to be older, like a teenager in his 20s, and he'd look at me like, man, sorry. That would be like, I do not want him to look at me like that. And that'd be one of the two things I think about, like, man, nah.
That's great. I don't think I ever, but see, you think about that because that's how you felt about your father, right? And so that's what I'm saying. And so for me, I don't think about that because I don't have those feelings towards my father necessarily. So I'm just kind of like, I mean, I think that's incredible, because that second part about when you get older, when you start understanding, like when you get older, you start like, when you get about like 16, 17, you know, the world kind of looks different. It's like you start understanding. And then when you get 20, 21, 25, 30, you really know the game. And you know that a person, an adult, there's a point where you make decisions. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. Either you do the right thing or the wrong thing. And so you start looking at people that have been in your lives or not in your lives. You're like, you decided, you chose to do that or not do that. That was your decision. And so I'm like, dude, that's a great point. I don't want my son to look at me when he starts understanding, like, you left mom, you left us, or you did this, or you could have had this job, but you decided to, you know what I mean? Or you had this opportunity, but you chose that, and we suffered because of your decisions. Yeah.
Man, I tried, there was something else I was about to say. Dang, there's something about, like, you know, I feel like there's gonna be a point in every kid's life where his parents aren't cool, right? But it's still like, all right, man, that's my dad. But like, you don't wanna look at him like, oh, damn it. That's my damn dad, like, embarrassed. But of course, like you know, I was gonna be cool. I'm bracing myself for that, of course. But the part where it's like, man, I gotta talk to you, like that part. Because I'm trying to think, when I was a kid, I can remember like him coming home, man, and just anything could set him off. So that part, and then, you know, older, like, I remember, man, I'm telling this funny story, him and my brother. he used to have these little, try to be like these deep moments with us, or it would be a conversation, a lecture. And he'd be talking to my brother like, hey son, you better get it together. Like he was in high school, right? Junior, senior year. He's like, cause in 16 months, me and you gonna be out here competing for a job. Like, so you better figure it out. Fast forward like a year and a half later, they had a job together at a call center. And I was thinking like, yo, oh, if I was ever working with dad, and then he was talking about like, yeah, dad used to come to work with like the Jesus Uncle Cookout sandals, no socks on. I was thinking like with a book bag. The book bag wouldn't have nothing in it. And he'd be like, yo, what's in the book bag? And he had like old pictures of himself playing ball. And I just be like, yo, I would have lost it, man. I would have lost it. I would have quit that day. Like,
that's crazy.
It's a lot of funny stories that we can just laugh about now.
You told me a few of them that one night. That's a movie, man. You need to write it up and sell the rights, though. People wouldn't believe some of the stuff. And that's why I think when I hear people complaining, I'm be like, or talking about their circumstances, like, nah, dog, that's like, I hear you, but I know somebody that's been through something 10 times worse and they're fine. Like they're okay. So I don't want to hear the tears, because again, if you got those that have a really bad story that are doing great, and you have people that were raised in a two-parent household, everything was laid out, they had the world at their fingertips, that are doing bad. So I hear both sides, but it comes down to the person's choices, and is the road, life is harder for other people, but you didn't get to pick your dad, yeah, or your mom, you didn't, or your brother, or nobody, you were born, and then we got to kind of figure this out.
I'm trying to think. This is the last thing I say about it. So I think the one thing I took away from it was, like, growing up, how we did, as I got older, I always used to live my life like a plane crash, right? So they tell you the plane crash, the plane's going down, oxygen mask is going to drop, put yours on first, before you assist with anyone else. So that's kind of how I always had my mentality with things. It was like, hey man, let me get good, and then I'll help whoever I need to help out, right? But it's kind of like, you live like that, you're never really happy, because even who's to say what's good, right? Like JJ said, you know what's cool in $1 million? $2 million, right? So you're never really happy. And so I think getting married, having a family, the true happiness part is, you look at Dan, he's like my live conscience version. Like, he's my conscience right there. So when I'm thinking like, yo, these new Air Maxes, about to get them, thinking like, Daniel, let me just give you some stuff really quick. Or yeah, Drea said we need to do this. So, and yeah, then you feel better doing that. And you'd be like, I'll get whatever I want on the back end. And it's kind of like, it comes full circle versus just, you know, hey man, once I get straight, then I'm gonna help y'all. You're never really truly happy with that. So that's part of, like, I had to learn that kind of early years of college, like right up into marriage. Like, man, that happy wife, happy life type of thing. It's just like, I'll get that back on the back end.
You're fine just providing, right? I mean, I think for us, it's the pleasure of like doing, and it's not even a sacrifice. It's like, we just do it. We just take care of our people, because that's ultimately, we know if they're good, you don't need them Air Maxes. I'm good.
Yep.
I'm straight. Like, honestly, I think it's on you, y'all.
Yes. My last question, like, what's the one thing you want to do once everything kind of opens back up and kind of gets back to some normalcy?
Whew. Well, one thing is that we moved during the pandemic. So one thing, we moved into our house. So one thing I want to do is have a housewarming. And I don't even know if it'll be a housewarming by that time, but it'll be like, just really have people over. Cause I mean, y'all ain't been down here yet. A couple of my boys ain't been, and we've only really had like immediate family down. So that's one thing I definitely want to do is, you know, have people over, have a cookout. Hopefully the weather's nice, and just kind of hang out, man, and be in the same room and not zooming each other or FaceTiming, and let's play some cards, you know, just laugh, play some music, and just really chop it up and like do it for days, not just like a few hours, but like have people stay and, you know, bring their families and whatnot, man. Because again, that's what COVID did, man. I think it just made you realize, like, I have a list of a really short list of people that I really care about that I want to like hang out with, and that's gonna sound a little whatever, but like, I don't need to go to the club, or I don't need to go wherever and be around random people. Like, I want to be around the people I know sincerely care about me, and the feeling is mutual. So I want to create that space and go to spaces like that only. Because, like, really, done nothing really. I mean, of course, every now and again, you want to go out, hang out, and be whatever, but ultimately, that stuff really doesn't matter. In the grand, so why even waste time? Why would I really want to go do things like that when I could spend a Saturday and have Drew, Drea, and Daniel come down, and then we just watch our kids in the backyard, and we sitting drinking some brews and cooking on the grill and laughing. And I mean, to me, I already knew how cool that was before, but now it's like, that's really all I want to do, or be around my mom and dad, or my brother, or, I mean, it's really not, it's really, COVID has really simplified everything for me. I mean, it really has made me look at things like, yo, I don't need a lot. And I want to enjoy the people that I really care about now. Like, I don't want to wait. I don't want to, you know, God forbid something happens. You know, I just want to be around people that I really care about, you know, and I know they care about me. I don't want to waste any time with that. So, but what about you?
Think the one thing is go on a vacation, like to one of them all-inclusive places or something like that. Just because I've never been, like, I was like, man, I don't even like to fly, but I get on a plane. But I just remember, like, I'll see all these people traveling and stuff, and I was like, man, I don't really need to travel. Like, been to England, like, I've been places, right? England, Hawaii. But now I really, really want to get out just to like one vacation a year, to where it's like, I'm gonna be here and I'm not even gonna think about anything else. I'm gonna cut everything off. And like to be with like Drea and really just us, like not even have Daniel with us, right? Like just to get away and just because I've always looked at it like, nah, now's not the right time. You don't want to keep, I keep, I'm always thinking something catastrophic is about to happen. We're going to need $50,000 tomorrow or something like that. So I never want to really do nothing too crazy. Like, hold on, it's more than how many hours away? We got to go where? Oh no, I don't. Let's wait on it, see if something gets a little better. But I think that just go ahead and do it, because like you said, man, we don't even know we're gonna be here tomorrow. So it's kind of that'll be the main thing. Like, because she always talked about how she was like, one vacation a year, that's all I want. So now to kind of like be able to do that'll be like that one thing I'm looking forward to. Like, yeah, let's do it.
And I'll add to that too. You know, one thing that I do with Solomon, Smalls, and Josh every year is that we do the couples thing, and we didn't do that this year. We always do it in November. We didn't do it. So me and Meg were talking one night, and we were talking about how it would be dope if all of us, like y'all too, you and Drea, we did an all-inclusive somewhere, or went somewhere. It don't even have to be out the country, but we all went somewhere, like, once all this is over, and just like for days, like 4 or 5 days, and like just enjoy each other, drink all day, not about a fool, just play loud music. I mean, and just really, and I mean, it'll be more like a relief party, but like celebration. Like, yo, do y'all realize? I mean, because we don't even, the conversation is going to be so different once we are really removed from all of this. Like, just to be able to say we survived. Like, when we get old, when we're like 60, 70, 80, we're gonna be talking about, like, yo, 2020, man, we survived that. We're gonna be telling our grandbabies, like, we're gonna be in the books, the record book. I saw on Instagram somebody say, yo, we better be in the next Bible.
Well, we saw it slowly happening too, like, because we were in the airport like a bunch and all this stuff going on. We used to look at people like, yo, you got a mask on, Yeah. What a lame. Now it's like, they were right.
they were right. So, yeah. But my last question for you is just a light question. What was, in your opinion, the best album of 2020 and the best movie you watched and the best show? So it's three questions.
Yeah, okay. So
what's the best album in your opinion?
Man, the crazy thing is I would have to actually look up that just because I'm not even an album guy. Like I go to songs or I go to my Apple playlist and what's going on right now. But I think the last two albums I've listened to, they were pretty dope. That Jeezy album. Mm-hmm. And Big Sean. I'll go with Jeezy just because I heard an interview with him and he was just talking about, like, they were asking him about growth and, you know, old beefs he had and how, yeah, like maybe a song might have stirred up or some it kind of concluded some beefs, but maybe it might have stirred up some new ones. And he was just all like, yo, I gotta tell my truth. Because if I don't, man, that's just going to eat away at me. That's going to affect my overall happiness. And he was just like, yo, if my truth has anything to do with you, that's on you, man. I'm just telling how I see it. And he was just like, I'm not lying. And he was like, it's in one of his songs. He's like, another man's opinion, that doesn't control my happiness. And so that's why I'll say that, just because I've been able to listen to that, like, okay. And then that hearing that interview, I was like, that was pretty solid. He sounds like a mature adult right now.
Yeah. He's
I never really
a mature adult during the verses too.
Yeah. And it was like, a lot of times with like rappers, you don't really see that side of them. You just see like pictures, right? Iced out grills, all this other stuff. But hearing him talk like that, like, okay, like he doesn't just sound like he just was reading this. Like, he sounds like this is his true feelings, his thoughts, and he was able to articulate that. So I can rock with that. All right. I'm trying to think. Show or movie? Dang, man, watched a lot of movies.
I think we all did.
Man, I'm trying to think, man. It's been so many movies. I think the last probably maybe one of the Avenger movies, man.
Okay.
Just because Black Panther, you know, that would probably be after he passed away. I was like, man, like all I think about now is a movie. That's all that comes to mind for some reason. And I saw that when it first came out, like it was a while ago. But like just watching it now, it's like so much different. And it's like, dang, you just appreciate things. Like, man, he was really doing it, man. Like, dang. No,
too.
I'm trying to think, TV show. All the way back to 2020. Man, so many. You gotta. Insecure, Shameless, man, even the new Power, the one with his son is pretty good.
Oh, Power Book 2, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And we watching this series now called The Bridgerton, something like that. That's pretty good.
What's that, with the chess player? No.
It's like old school courting, trying to find a woman, trying to find a husband. And like a dude, it's so crazy. It has like modern day themes. Like the dude, he's too cool. He don't really want to tell how he feels and see how like other people are about to marry her, stuff like that. It's, yeah. Dang, TV show. Man, I'm trying to think, man.
You know what my answers are. So, well, yeah. Let me go back to hip hop. Cause you know, I like, especially with Running Man, I'd have probably listened to every hip hop album this year. But no, it's Detroit too, Big Sean.
Mm-hmm.
That one of Busta Rhymes' last album was crazy to me. I can just let them rock out. But that Detroit too, man, I was raised by the wolves.
Yeah.
That joint is crazy. Or Lucky Me, that when the first one that come on. Best movie, and we were talking about it before we started recording, was Soul. I just watched that last week.
Mm.
The Pixar joint, they got a crazy dope message about life in it. I did not expect that. I watched it thinking it was a kid movie. It is definitely not a kid movie. It is for everybody. It's incredible. How it depicts Black people. It did a really good job of making sure we look good and we look cool. But favorite show? Caught Up to Snowfall, man.
You've been
been telling me for years. I literally finished it this morning. I'm all caught up. Can't wait to February when the season 4 come out. I told my boys the other night on the phone, I said, look, just hypothetically speaking, if I was a drug dealer, I would be Franklin Saint, yo. If I was in that game, out of all the shows and movies I've ever seen about drugs and cocaine and all of this, I said, as far as personality and as far as the intelligence and his charisma and all of the above, I said, Franklin Saint is my guy.
I forgot about Dago and Money Heist.
Money Heist, you put me on that. I still ain't finished it.
Woo! Money Heist. And then the great thing was, Big Sean writing this album, man. He had this line in there, man, that still be standing me, it stands out to me till this day. Like, I always like think about it. He was like, man, that the road to hell was paved with good intentions. So I was thinking, like, because you think about every person that has done everything to you, they'd be like, come on, man, you know I wouldn't do it. You know, I wouldn't, that's me, baby. I wouldn't do that. But then you think, like, dog, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. Like, yeah, of course, you probably didn't think that. But that's what I was like. On that album, I was like, yo, that's the one line that just be standing out to me.
Yo, he's so underrated, man. And it's crazy. All his albums are dope. But I feel like for some reason, Detroit 2 was... it was something about it, man. And then the fact that I forget my man's name that produced it, that he did a great job. But yeah, man, it's been some great music. I know Drake coming out supposedly in this month of February.
The Umbrella Academy, you gotta check that out too.
What is it?
The Umbrella Academy.
That's a show?
Yeah.
What's it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's like basically, you got these guys, like imagine like the X-Men, people with all these superhuman strengths, but they grow up together, but they hate their dad. And so then like he passes away and they all come back. And like they're like seeing all these different things. They got to do all these different things.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope. We watched it on a whim one time. We binged it for like days.
I got like 5 shows I gotta check out, man. I know E-Man put me on one. I forgot the name. It's in my little messages. I gotta go back and look. So I mean, I feel like we're gonna be in the crib for a few more months. So. But yeah, man. Hey, this was dope, man. I think I know we chopped it up for a while. We could go on for hours, man. We probably will off wax. But yeah, man, it's been a crazy year. I'm glad that we kept our sanity, we kept our jobs, we kept our marriages, we kept the pod going. But, you know, again, looking forward to that median, man. We don't know what to expect, but I just pray that everybody sees their way through it, man. One thing about us and our people, and I like to say the majority of people, is that we're resilient, man. And so we'll figure it out and we'll get through it. Looking forward to the new admin to get in that White House. And I think that's going to be the first big step in the right direction. But yeah, man. Hey, we here now.
We made it.
And it's 2021, so Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody. And we're going to keep this thing going. I'm Kate.
I'm Drew.
Catch y'all next time.